Good evening, my name is Patrick Saris. I'm the policy analyst for the Citizens Police Review Board. The CBRB is submitting a proposal to civilianize the intake of citizen complaints received by Internal Affairs. The CBRB has estimated $1.27 million to fund 8 complaint investigator 1 positions for the intake of citizen complaints and 2 administrative assistant 1 positions to provide the necessary assistance. The intake investigators will accept all citizen complaints to include all walk-ins, complaints made over the telephone, anonymously or confidentially, and recorded messages from the 24/7 complaint hotline, take statements, and obtain police communication reports and other documentary evidence. The CBRB will provide summary findings on some complaints consistent with IAB's current policy and forward the intake of complaints within 24 hours to the Internal Affairs Division. The CBRB director will review all complaints and determine whether or not complaints will be selected for investigation by the CBRB for evidentiary hearing or mediation. These two features, the evidentiary hearing and mediation, are unique to the CBRB, and they perform a check and balance of the Internal Affairs investigations. Some quick benefits of this proposal is that there will be more quality evidentiary hearings and mediations. There will be a more comprehensive public data set. There will be creation of a more efficient use of police staff and a more simplified process of filing citizen complaints. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's hear the speakers.
Once your name is called, please close the podium and in the order to state your name for the record. Again, given the limits of the hour and additional items to be considered, this group's time is still limited to 1 minute per speaker. Rashida Grenache, Bob Bloom, Ken Pete, Kelly Abraham, Attica Driss, Emil Grenache, David, Eric Cisneros, Charles Bilton, Mary Jane Collins, Fatima Collins, Janice Embry, Pamela Holmes, Morgan. And anyone else?
I'm Eric Cisneros. I am the convener of the Mayor's Police Issues Task Force. Skipping down. As of today, no one at OPD has told the OPD grant writer is Candace Jesse to hammer out a proposal to get the funding we need. We don't have that authority. So our team, Sean Quinn, Patrick Caceres, and the Police Issues Task Force is working towards our goal, but without OPD command staff tasking Ms. Jesse with writing this proposal, her hands are tied. You will probably notice tonight that no one will be speaking against this agenda item. I could be wrong. That means that your constituents want this to move along to the next step in the process. So please direct Mr. Lindheim, as requested in the public safety meeting, to take a more active role in this process, find the necessary funds, move intake of citizen complaints to the CPRB. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, my name is Harvey Grenache. I'm a resident of District 3. I'm a drill sergeant, and I'm also a member of the Paul Robeson chapter of the ACLU. And I'm here on behalf of the Paul Robeson chapter, as well as myself, to ask them to please adopt this proposal to civilianize the CPRB. Perhaps the biggest reason, in my personal view, is that the CPRB hearings allow a forum for both sides to be heard. We feel open government and police accountability cannot be preserved without a forum to allow citizens to grieve, you know, something that they feel their rights have been abused in some way. There should be a forum for grievance. The citizens of Oakland deserve nothing less than that, and we urge you to adopt this proposal. A couple of the other reasons are that citizens are more likely to talk to them because if they know that their face will be handled by civilians and not other officers who oftentimes are under the supervision of people who are the subject of the complaints. And I'll just go again asking you to please adopt this
I'm an Oakland homeowner and community activist residing in District 6. I'm here to express my passionate support for a proposal to civilianize the intake and investigation of citizen complaints of misconduct by officers of the Oakland Police Department, which is currently before you. In reviewing the proposal myself, I find it a wonderful opportunity for the citizens of Oakland and OPD to begin repairing a broken relationship of misconduct, mismanagement, and distrust that has existed now for decades. Additionally, I see an opportunity for considerable cost benefits actualized over time. It is my adamant belief that removing the civilian complaint process from internal investigations of the OPD and allowing for a citizen police review board made up of its own populace, embracing and including the ethnic diversity of its citizenry, provides for a fair and transparent process that will vastly serve Oakland residents well.
Thank you.
Therefore, I urge you, and I'm taking my 30 seconds, because I was here a long time from the beginning. Therefore, I urge you to adopt the proposal before you tonight. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes, I'm speaking on behalf of Kim Bradford, I believe, and I was speaking on New Jersey. I also urge you to adopt civilianizing of the review boards before you. Benjamin Jealous, president of the NACP, has weighed heavily on this issue, and there's going to be a national initiative by the NACP to implement analogous policy nationwide. And the causal reasoning says that because research has shown that there are many barriers to reporting incidents of abuse and misconduct, including intimidation at police departments and a lack of trust in the integrity of the system, among other reasons. This breakdown leads to an absence of public safety and a deterioration of the quality of life in many communities of color. But public safety is a civil and human right, and so we want a more accurate count of these incidents, Jealous says. And finally, he says, we know that most of the peace officers around the nation are excellent public servants, but the few who violate people's rights are often not held accountable. We hope to improve the relationship between our community and law enforcement officers, which is the best way to create the trust needed for police to effectively solve crime, Jealous said.
Dear Pete.
And I trust that you guys are doing the right thing.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is David. I lived in Oakland since 1991, within a mile of here. The Oakland police have a serious credibility problem. The fox has been guarding the hen house. It's, everybody here, I believe, knows what the right thing to do is. You have to have outside people understand what goes on. The epitome of that is the last head of IA is himself under investigation and a beating down and a cover-up. That's what you get when you don't have proper civilian oversight. I want to say that not only is it, would that be you guys supporting it be a benefit to the citizens of Oakland, many of whom know firsthand statistics like the 45 people that have been shot and no officers disciplined in the last 5 years. But I do believe while the police resist this, and they will, in the end it's going to be to their benefit too as their credibility grows.
Thank you.
Sheila Grenache, I know all the police issues down for us. It seems like the longer you stay here, the less time you have. I'm not sure how that now works, but what's in this folder is the history of OPOA objections to everything that the CPRD has ever tried to do. Everything from writs to memos to threats to litigation. They didn't like the three-person panel. They didn't like the fact that we hear complaints of the tort claims. They didn't like anything that was proposed. They don't like that there should be a simple majority to sustain a complaint. That's the bad news. What's the good news? That you guys have stood firm every single time there's been a challenge. You have stood firm with the CPRD to affirm its mandate and its goals. And we hope that you will continue to do that tonight. What we're asking for is a vote to adopt in principle the idea to civilianize the intake of complaints. It's the first phase of what we hope will be a more complete transfer eventually, so that the CPRD will eventually hear and investigate all complaints fully. This is just the first stage of it. We ask for your vote in principle, even though we haven't got a fully developed plan or a source of funding yet, because unless we get your vote in principle, we can't pursue a fully developed plan or a source of funding. That's the reason that we're asking you to adopt this in principle, so that we can proceed and come back to you in the fall with a very fully developed plan that addresses all of the concerns that have been stated, and that has an identified funding source which is not within the city. So we hope that you will do the right thing. Frankly, we fear that if we don't take this step now, it will be a matter of time before the CPRB is actually eliminated, because it will be seen as simply marginal and duplicative and not affordable. And what we want to make sure of is that instead of being minimized further, that the CPRB actually grows in its scope, grows in its objectives and its function, and is fully funded eventually. So we hope that we have your support this evening. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Is that all the speakers? I think the police department is here, and I want to ask them if they just want to make a comment to come up.
Yes, I think that this will be very helpful, and I'm I'm actually pleased that it's in concept and then to come back, because I do see that it's appropriate to have more work done on it before we actually go to implementation. But I definitely agree we should vote nonetheless tonight on the concept, because otherwise the implementation plan will never be developed. And I also just want to say, I think the overwhelming majority of our police officers are incredibly hardworking, dedicated, and never do anything wrong. And it is for their sakes, too, that there has to be a credible process so that that faith can be built. Thank you.
Ms. Kwan?
Thank you. I think that the point that Nancy added is important. We have some grant opportunities, and we're not necessarily designated. This is one of our priorities. It is going to take a long time because clearly, just added as the report said, we just added more than 2 million and still also have to pay for the court ordered positions. That's over $1 million. But there's no reason why we can't start transitioning if we're given the grant funded positions. I thought it was really important also that the police department was looking at civilianizing some of the inmate positions, because there's two issues here. One is a cost-saving issue, and the other one is the issue of trust. And even that's on the Y Valley. It's clear what's happening with the reason that the IAAD actually did turn on their civilian police kit. More complaints than the CPRB, the civilian, is because many of our constituents, people make complaints, make them at the scene during an incident, and that the sergeants and our other officers are doing the intake there on the field, this initial intake. So I think there's always going to be most of our officers, as Ms. Captain said, most of our officers are very courteous and behave to the law, but they're also a long history and there are people who have not, and so this issue of trust. So I think we have to have the civilian opportunity, but we also will probably never have just the civilian intake. We'll probably always have intakes at both levels, and there will be some things that IAD and only IAD can do because of the level of the complaints. So there's been a lot of pain of one against the other. I actually see as we go forward, we'll probably have some hybrid, but clearly we can have a lot more civilian intake than we have now. And I think that we should ask the administrator and his department to specifically look in their grant opportunities to fund more civilian intake.
Mr.
Reed,
you can
begin there.
Thank you,
Governor
President.
Respect for and her tenacity. She's like a radar. She focuses on something and never leaves the radar screen. And because it is something that she certainly believed in fighting for, and I certainly respect her. But I want to support this. I mean, something that makes logical sense, but I think the way we're doing it is not going about it the right way. It's just like the whole issue, especially when we enter on the ID card. And so, assume that if we apply for grants and we don't get the funding, we will have approved the action that we're being asked to do this evening. And I guarantee you, Ms. Granage will remind us that you guys approved it, and given the budget discussions that we've already gone through, get the And the future budget discussions that we're going to go through, I mean, we're going to have to make, again, some more serious choices in the future. And so I think there's a way, without having to approve this in concept and directly with the city administrator, to have staff, again, pursue those grant opportunities and see whether or not we do get the grants, and then come back and bring this item before us after a complete plan that takes us down this road to where we want to be. So, Rashida, as I told you, public safety, I'm with you, but I just don't believe this is the way for us to get there. Once the money's identified and the plan is put together, I'll be there supporting you like my colleagues are going to do this evening. So, please forgive me if I don't go forward this evening.
Thank you.
I will vote for him.
Mr. Nandy, before we get back to you, I'm going to shift the other people. Ms. Brooks, are you watching? Ms. Brooks.
I just want to say that I was the lone voter with you in opposition to the ID cards, but I'm not with you on that same kind of logic this evening. We, as a council, have talked about the need to civilianize internal affairs. There was a report that was supposed to come back a long time ago, over a year ago, that talked about civilianization of internal affairs. And we talked about in the budget process the need to look at efficiencies. This is one of those efficiencies. So this is much different than the issue on the ID card. It may cost us some money up front, but in the long run, it's going to save us some money. And so for that reason, I'm voting yes on this tonight, and I couldn't vote on the other night.
I'm going to call myself. I have a couple of things I'd like to direct staff to come back with in the report. Before I do that, your committee minutes said the committee directed that no general fund be earmarked for the plan. Is that part of your motion tonight?
The discussion, what we said was we were not going to put forward any money when there was no specific plan. And so, we were saying no general fund money. They have to do the plan, and then we talk about the money, was what we said.
That's really different. Okay, I'm going to say that's really different. It's different between doing a plan and going after grants than doing a plan, and then you're going to come to us and say you need to find enough money for 10 civilians while we still have IA. And I'm actually willing to do the transfer, but I'm not willing to be under Measure Y with the amount of officers we need and 10, additional 10. I'm willing to go out and do funding that's separate, but I'm not hearing that. So at this point, I'm not hearing, you're saying it's going to be very different than the minutes. The minutes say direct that no general funds be earmarked. You're saying do the plan and then come back and we'll talk about the funding. That's
right.
Different.
Yeah, that's... I think they're the same.
I don't see them as the same.
Okay, there's no promise of money. We're saying bring us a plan, then we'll talk about money.
Yeah, okay. So I want to just say,
I'm sorry, are you asking me to clarify it?
I think because
what I asked for the Friendly Amendment doesn't discuss funding, but it's not general fund funding. What we're looking for is outside grant funding so that's the language that we want to have in there, is to look for appropriate outside grant funding that would allow the transfer of responsibility to civilians that is currently held by the IA.
But are you willing to also state there'll be no general fund money?
Yes.
Okay.
For now, I mean, we can always change our mind later if we had money.
This is why things, you're not both saying the same, so I don't want to do it. It's okay. I would like an explanation of the CPRB intake process and how that's compared to IAD intake process. I'd like a timeline for the transition, including the number of IAD officers that could be transferred from IAD. I'd like a list of potential funding sources and application deadlines, if that's the similar one, Ms. Baykel. Fourth, approve changes to the NSA necessary for the transition, what do we have to change? And fifth, a clear resolution summarizing the transfer, how that transfer happened. And at this point, because of what actually you're saying is going to happen, I'm going to abstain right now until I understand the funding. I, in concept, support it. I am willing to go support any grant application, but it's still too vague to me about the general fund funding. Because I'm not going to sign up for something that's going to have general funds. And you keep saying, well, we can come back to it, which makes it that we're going to be there. So it's okay. Let's bring in with you, and then let's call Fletcher. I think you have your vote, so it doesn't matter.
Actually, I did want to raise a concern about Ms. Nadel's friendly amendment as I was thinking about it. I think it's really important that the council see the plan before, like, that application goes out and you don't even know what the plan is. So I think it's good to be out there looking for money, but until the plan is really tight and you all agree on it, I don't see how you can apply for the money. Or at least, I'm saying, come to us, tell us what the plan is if you're applying for the money. Someone else wants to comment on it.
I have no one else to choose, so let's have who's the mover, Ms. Nadeau.
Maybe Ms. Luna can give us a sense of how long this plan aspect will take, because I don't want to miss the opportunity to apply for the RIA. Do you have it high on your priority list of things to do?
The relevant groups have been meeting every week and have made an enormous amount of progress. Some of the issues regarding the NSA are in the process of being resolved because we're in the process of working out what the extension of the NSA will be or won't be and how that's going to play out. And this is one of the, since IA is one of the central aspects of the NSA, this is all part of that. There really shouldn't be any obstacles, but there are details. And there is no opposition to the proposal. The only issue here is twofold. One is to understand in the short term that as important as having civilization of IA and the intake is, it's not going to replace in the short term any police officers who are in IA. So we will be having extra money going to this function. That may be a very worthwhile thing to do, but it will be extra money. And so then the question becomes, where do we find the extra money? And so the next question is, why not make that the highest priority of stimulus money? And the response to that, in part, or a response to that, is until we resolve the issue of whether we're going to meet the 739, that there are alternative uses, such as supplanting other programs that we might be losing, that we'll have to look at and balance as well. At the point that we decide that we can't meet the 739, then that's a whole other issue, and then a whole arithmetic and all of the issues can change.
My question is, there's a timeline on the plan process where you could also, with other priorities in mind, for ARA money, possibly a
I think we're very close. I mean, basically,
a month.
Yeah, I would say. I mean, the unknown is resolving the NSA issue, but yeah, I would say a month. I mean, we're essentially there.
So there still might be some IRA application opportunities. Not to look for. I mean, they will still be within your. That will still be able to balance your concern for other reasons to apply for them. You know what I'm saying. You mentioned that there might be some other competitive ARA things you want to go after instead of making this a priority. So I just want to make sure that we don't lose opportunities here. Hearing from council, it's a high priority.
No, I understand it's a high priority, and something is high priority of the mayor, and something that I absolutely support. The question is just. So
the plan needs to come back in September. You know, you need a resolution with the plan, and it needs to be an action plan, and then you can go for money, and it's going to happen, and it's not going to happen before September.
And at the end of September, we'll know about the September and the cops money as well.
Correct.
So things might fall into place.
Okay, so you want to articulate the motion one more time?
I don't think I can.
No, I don't think the clerk can either.
Okay.
I believe it's Shad. Okay, drum roll, please. Okay, the action on the proposal to transfer the intake of the citizens generated complaints against the members of the Open Police Department from internal affairs to the Citizens Police Review Board is inclusive
of the direction that a transition plan with funding information be prepared, which was the committee's recommendation.
No, it's not right. Leave that to any reference to funding. We are asking for an implementation plan of the civilianization of the intake function of internal affairs.
So you wish to exclude the provisions that prevent general funds being allocated for that?
Yeah, just ignore your notes. You know, the minutes were not all that clear, so let's start fresh. But Nancy, do you think you're ready to...
No, I'm trying to... So leaving out that sentence about funding, that staff comes back to us in September with a plan, and any opportunities for grant funding that might be appropriate to implement.
Yes.
So.
Chair, that doesn't sound right. I'm being the title. This is clear and specific. I don't know where I am. To me, it says the committee is also granted the non-general purpose funds.
They're back along with that now.
This civilianization plan in concept. And we are directing staff to come back in September with a detailed implementation plan. Period. We also ask staff to be looking for outside funding for this implementation plan, and they can bring that back to us. But the main thing is we want the implementation plan, and this is
the That's the motion.
Can I just clarify that it's not the full civilianization plan, but that was the intake
of the Yes, as described.
Mrs. Elfoyte, you in the queue.
Yeah, I just want to clarify. So, a few island departments that specifically the committee also recommends that no general purpose funds be earmarked for that.
No, we are saying we are not mentioning there is no money involved with this motion. We are saying we want to see a plan. We're not promising any dollars until we see a plan. So there's no dollars that are promised with this. That's the whole idea. We don't want to promise dollars until we would see a plan.
Okay.
Madam President, can I just say something for like 10 seconds?
Go for it.
That's the same thing that the committee asked for. And you guys forwarded it up to the full council for consideration. Tell me what's the difference in the action of the committee and what you're asking them for us to do.
It's not different. It's the same.
The only thing that's different is the committee said there would be no general fund, and now they're saying it's a possibility.
I don't have a problem with putting something in there about no general fund. That's what's troubling people, because that's our intention that we have.
That's what's troubling people.
Let's go. Next slide.